Good morning. I greet you this wonderful morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church, High Point, North Carolina. It is a blessing for me to be here. I count it a great blessing, and I pray that you also are feeling blessed this morning. I call your attention to the New Testament book of John, the Gospel according to John. And in the Gospel according to John, I call your attention to verse 16. And if you have your Bible, even though you may have read the scriptures previously, I think it's always wise to, if you can, without being distracted, follow along with the preacher. I know that now many of you have technology. Whatever you use, please make sure that it is not distracting and that you are indeed getting the most out of the service. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verse 16, we read the following. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Almighty God, all-wise God, all-holy God, ever-present God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ the Nazarene, I and those who worship with me in this holy service, lift our voices, our hearts, our thoughts heavenward today, thinking of thee and thanking thee for life, health, strength, and every good thing thou hast given, and all that thou hast done for us. Lord, I bless thy name, I praise thy name, and I shout hallelujah. Now, Father God, I ask your full presence in the Holy Spirit in this worship service, that we might do it in spirit and in truth, I and those who worship herein. Not only at the first offering of this worship, but every time, Father God, it is henceforth participated in by listening. Bless in Jesus' name every participant to the glory of God and to their good. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. I call your attention to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And particularly to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 1, let us, you and I, begin reading at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 reads thusly, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Let me begin reading this once again. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The epistle of Paul the apostle to the Hebrews. The epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. I call your attention with specificity back to verse 1 and verse 2. Verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 1 read as follows. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. For a short time, my friends, let's commune together in worship under the topic, sundry times and divers manners. Sundry times and divers manners. What is the Holy Bible? It is a book written by God and includes a process of sundry times and divers manners and direct point to human beings through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. It appears that Paul here is trying to encapsulate the process of God reaching out through his indescribable love, his immensely great love, his love which is above my imagination. God reaching out to his creation, his human creation, in so many ways to make it totally sure that human beings have no excuse for not making it home to heaven. No excuse. And so Paul says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, Paul seems to reiterate by these words, sundry times and divers manners, the very fact that God spoke to the prophets and through the prophets in many portions, at many times, in many ways, in various ways. That's what sundry times and divers manners mean. Actually, the Greek word could define both. One Greek word can define both sundry and divers. God did it in great, magnificent, repetitive ways. And we see it in the Old Testament, where he speaks through his leaders, his people, his prophets. The Holy Ghost speaks through the prophets of God. The Holy Spirit speaks through the prophets of God. I am without excuse. I have not one excuse for not obeying God. I have not one excuse for not making it to heaven. Because God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. He spoke unto the prophets for our profit. He spoke unto the prophets, prophets, for my profit. When I say my profit, I mean spiritual profit, that I might be able to make it from earth to heaven. He did it because he loved me so. Jesus Christ came to earth in human form. Emmanuel, God with us. He chose human beings to be with him, to learn from him, to experience him up close. 12 of them he chose. One of them, when he was getting ready to die, said the following. You can read it with me in 2 Peter chapter 1, the second epistle of Peter, the second epistle general of Peter, chapter 1, the second epistle general of Peter, chapter 1 in the New Testament. Paul says, not Paul, but Peter. Peter says, Simon Peter, Peter says, beginning reading at verse 13, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 13, it reads as follows, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. The second epistle general of Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. Reading verses 19, 20, and 21 once again. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19, 20, and 21. God, He's the one that spake. He's the one that talked to the prophets. He is the one who, through love, gave us no excuse, but gave us everything we need to find our way home. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the prophets, unto the fathers by the prophets. In times past, He spake unto the fathers by the prophets. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. God spoke in so many ways, in various portions, at various times, in various, diverse, many ways to the fathers, to our predecessors, through His holy prophets. They were holy. The Holy Spirit moved them to receive the word of God and to speak unto the fathers. They had no excuse, and we have certainly no excuse. For not only do we have the record of the activity of the prophets, but we also have the words of Jesus the Christ, through whom God has spoken in these last days unto us. God has spoken unto us. He came to earth. He was on earth. Peter, from whom I just read in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter was one of his disciples. Jesus has spoken. We have the benefit of the prophets, the fathers, and in these last days of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, sundry times and diverse manners. God didn't speak just one time. God didn't speak just one way. Some could say, well, I missed it. He spoke one time in one way. I missed it. I have an excuse for not obeying God, one could say. But the Bible is very clear here in the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, many times, many ways, many portions, various ways, we are certainly without excuse. We're told by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, if we will turn there in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the gospel of Christ, but he goes on to say that we don't have any excuse. Romans chapter 1, in his preaching, beginning reading at verse 15, here's what the epistle of Paul the apostle to the Romans says in Romans chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. My friends, we are without excuse. I've read in your hearing Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. God loves human beings. Even though humans failed at the creation, God did not give up on human beings, but God sought ways to redeem human beings to himself. And so we are told in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus came. And that's the Son that we read about in Hebrews chapter 1. The Son of God, for God so loved. Don't forget that word love. For God so loved. How many ways did God love us? Every word he spoke. Whether it was to give guidance or whether it was to chastise. Every word that God spake to the fathers through the prophets were words of love. How many ways? Oh, how many ways? How many words? How many ways? Sundry times and in divers manners. How many portions? How many times? How many various mechanisms? We cannot blame God. For God so loved. That's why he did it. For God so loved. That's why he did it. He loves you. He loves me. He wants us, when life on earth ends, he wants us to come to heaven. But in order to do so, we must believe the words he spake to the fathers through the prophets, and the words that we have directly from Jesus Christ our Lord. We must take faith in the word, in the gospel. Paul says he was not ashamed of the gospel, but it is the power of God. That's what I'm preaching to you. Why are you listening to me? You're listening to me because God so loved the world. Why am I preaching? Because God so loved the world, and God has perhaps millions of preachers like me. Why does he have millions of preachers like me? Because God loves you so much. Because God loves me so much. How many ways? How many ways? Can you count the ways that God loves you? The best I can say is so loved. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have no excuse for not possessing everlasting life. You have no excuse for not possessing everlasting life. Why? Because God so loved you. God so loved me. As Paul says in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. I have the capacity to love, and so do you. But I don't believe my love is as great as God's love, except the love of God in me. But my human love is not as great as God's eternal love, except His love in me. His love is so great, so magnificent. John said, just so loved. He loved the world so much. Do you love anybody? How much do you love them? Well, God loves you so much more. There was a poet named Elizabeth Barrett Browning who wrote a poem variously titled, How Do I Love Thee? When in grade school, I was intrigued by this poem, and so were many other young people. Not so much in a spiritual way, but we were interested in the opposite sex. The girls, the boys were interested in the girls, and I assumed the girls in the boys. And so, when we came across the Sonnet 43, How Do I Love Thee by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, oh, we were anxious to learn that poem. Elizabeth Barrett Browning writes, How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. For the ends of being an ideal grace. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. For the ends of being an ideal grace. Oh, as a young man, I could imagine a young girl telling me that she loved me that way. I could imagine a young girl coming and saying, Clarence, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. For the ends of being an ideal grace. Oh, that got our attention in grade school. It is said that Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote this poem, this Sonnet 43, to her husband, Robert Browning. Oh, it's magnificent. But it also has spiritual implications. In the poem titled, How Do I Love Thee?, Elizabeth Barrett Browning mentions soul, grace, praise, God, saints, faith. My goodness, how could that not touch the depths of a young man's soul? Imagining a young woman saying, How do I love thee? Imagine her whispering it to you. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being an ideal grace. Quite an appropriate poem. For a wife to write to her husband. And it is believed that Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote it to her husband, Robert Browning. But regardless of how she tries to express love, It does not reach the height, nor does it reach the depth, nor does it reach the breadth of the love that Almighty God has for you and me. If I was intrigued by the words of Elizabeth Barrett Browning, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being an ideal grace. If that can reach me, surely this should reach me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "Sundry times and diverse manners." Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for having spoken in sundry times and diverse manners in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Thank you for giving us the record of that activity. And Father God, thank you for having spoken in these last days unto us by your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the salvation that I have received through the Son of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ, who being the brightness of your glory and the express image of your person, and upholding all things by the word of your power, when he had by himself purged my sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. Amen. My dear friends, God loves you more than Elizabeth Barrett Browning could express in the poem, "How Do I Love Thee?" More than Elizabeth Barrett Browning could love her husband. He loves you more than you can love your mother, your father, your wife, your sister, your brother. He loves you more than you can love yourself. But I pray that you can love yourself enough to receive the love of God expressed through his Son, about whom John wrote in the Gospel according to John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him," for whosoever, that means you, that means me, I am a whosoever, and you are a whosoever. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have not yet availed yourself of everlasting life, my friend, please do it right now. Jesus Christ died on the cross because human beings were and are sinners. He died to pay the penalty for our sin. Almighty God exacts a penalty for sin. But His Son, Jesus Christ, met that obligation and paid our sin debt. He died for our sins and rose for our justification. He rose again from the dead. You must believe that. He died to pay the penalty for our sins and rose that we might stand righteous before God. So that when God looks upon us, He sees not our filthy rags, but He sees the righteousness of God, which we acquire through Jesus Christ, His Son. Accept Him now. Ask Him to save your soul. O Lord, save my soul. Father God, save my soul. I understand now that at sundry times and in divers manners, You've been reaching out to me. I understand now that Your Son, Jesus Christ, came through Your great love for me. I repent of my sins. I ask You to forgive me and save me. Make me Your spiritual child, even while I live here on planet Earth. Save me, Father. Save me, Lord, to the uttermost. And let me keep on living on earth, saved, until such time You call me to my reward in heaven. Save me, Lord. Save me, Father. Pray that, my friend, pray that and get saved. And live a wonderful, holy life. Because the Spirit of God is then in you. Once you know that you are saved, contact a Christian minister and our ministry. Request and receive Christian baptism. My friend, Christian baptism is very important. It is commanded. It is commanded. Receive Christian baptism. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.